Okay, we're going to continue our series on Hilchos Tzedakah. We spoke about last time. We touched on exactly what one is obligated to give. Rabbi Dr. Prager discussed it at Shal Shittus also. Dei Machzor, the Pasuk says you have to provide whatever the person is missing. And if the person happened to be living a noble lifestyle with some luxuries, then that may be included as well. But we also said that may not be that it devolves on every individual to get him the horses and the attendants, but the community at large. But we're going to talk about situations where we're not faced with that type of unique circumstances. So we know that the number 1/10, 10%, figures very importantly. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us there's actually three categories of people. It says the Beinoni, the average person, seeks to give 10%, under 10%, someone who's stingy, Ayin Ra'ah. And then there's a category of someone above 10% who goes up to 1/5, 20%, and that's considered fulfilling the mitzvah to its maximum. That's the maximum. We'll get back to if that's actually a cap and you can't go further. But so let's say a person is giving less than 10%, right? Is there a minimum and to still fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah? Because the answer is yes. That even if a person is not giving 10%, the absolute minimum that a person should give over the course of the year is 1/3 of a shekel. 1/3 of a shekel. And it doesn't have to be given at one time, but over the course of the year, over a 12-month period, they have to give a base minimum of 1/3 of a shekel. Okay? Meaning, let's say a person's poor and he can't give 10%. He's living, bare bones. But he has to give 1/3 of a shekel. So what is that in today's economy? So according to some estimates, a shekel comes out to 14.03 grams of silver. The time of writing this book, that was $2.50. I did a little Google search for, the price of silver has gone up significantly. One shekel comes out to $10.35. Okay, a third of a shekel is, $3 and change. All right, so it means we can all fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah just by giving $3.50, $4 over the course of the year. Again, that's not ideal. That's being stingy, but it should never go below that amount. Okay, where does that number come from? Right, where does a third of a shekel come from? So the Shach and the Aruch HaShulchan explained very interestingly that perhaps the number is as follows. If you take that 1/3 of a shekel and you broke it down into prutos, right? A pruta is the smallest coin in the Jewish economic system. Smallest coin that's recognized by halacha. So there are 256 prutas in this sum of a third of a shekel. 256 is also the number of days of the year if we exclude Friday and Shabbos. So if you give one pruta a day, Sunday through Thursday, Friday you're busy, you go to errands, you go to seasons, Shabbos you're not giving any tzedakah, but if you give one pruta a day for 256 days a year, you come out to this bare minimum of Shlish HaShekel, which is very interesting on two points. Obviously, the suggestion would be that it's a good idea to give a little bit every day, right? It's a good idea to give a little bit every day. Why should that be so? So one explanation is as follows. There's a comment of the Rambam. The Rambam interprets a line in Pirkei Avos that says, HaKol Lefi Rov HaMa'aseh. Well, everything comes down to, how much you're actually doing. So the Rambam says that's actually a very specific and precise practical teaching. HaKol Lefi Rov HaMa'aseh means the number of actions you do is tallied, and that's where the significance lies. And he says, the practical implication is as follows. What if I would ask you? I'd love to hear your thoughts, although I might have given it away. If I have $1,000, okay, $1,000 that I allot to tzedakah, and I can give it one lump sum or two lump sums to my favorite charities, or I can give $1 a day for the next 1,000 days, which one is better? Which one's better? What do you think? Dollar a day. Okay, dollar a day. So the reason for that is because the Rambam says that every time you reach into your pocket, you're essentially coming in conflict with the Yetzer Hara, right? Who's giving you one reason or another not to give the money. But simply accustoming ourselves, that conditioning of doing the act of tzedakah, or whatever it happens to be, right? The same would be true in other mitzvahs as well. The fact that I need to perform an action, a distinct, discrete action, so many times actually conditions me to be a more effective, I'm ingraining myself with a midah, with a character trait that emerges from the mitzvah of tzedakah beyond just writing the check. Again, I'm not trying to put that down. Obviously, when you give $1,000, you feel like you're really making a difference. But so you have to find that balance. But practically, if those are the two options, the Rambam says that's the best thing to do. So perhaps Chazal felt that at the very least we should aim to give one little coin at the over the course of the day. It's also relevant to something we find in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Sadi Beis, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, telling a story about Rabbi Elazar used to give a little bit, maybe even a pruta, a little bit before he began davening. Tov litein tzedakah kol tefillah. A person should give tzedakah before they begin davening. Okay, now as we discussed on Thursday night, share tefillah maybe before Shmona Esrei. It doesn't have to mean the moment you walk into the room, into the shul. But Rabbi Lazar explains his practice of giving a little tzedakah before tefillah based on a pasuk in Tehillim: "Va'ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha." Va'ani b'tzedek echazeh panecha. I will behold your face, your countenance. I will come before you b'tzedek, with righteousness, with tzedakah. And it can mean a number of different things. The Mefarshim say either it's normal, you know, like if you're going for a judgment, so you know. Like Yaakov Avinu sent the gift to Esav, you do your shtadlus, you send ahead something to find favor, or mida keneged mida, right? Kol ha'maracham al brios, maracham al ben ha'shamayim. If I have rachmanas on people, then whatever I'm asking for from Shemayim, Hashem's going to have rachmanas on me as well. Another explanation could be that the act of tzedakah is an act of emuna, right? If I'm giving something away from my hard-earned money, from my 401k, whatever it is, right? So I got to have in my spiritual bank the trust that Hashem's going to, you know, as we say, whatever you give for tzedakah, it's going to come back to you one way or the other. And that's true. So an act of emunah is appropriate in conjunction with tefillah, which is the ultimate display of emunah as well. So the two come together. Which also makes it very relevant, the fact that there, as you can see in your sitter, there is a longstanding practice. Some give tzedakah right at the beginning when they walk in, but others wait until Vayivarach David. Right? Vayivarach David says in the Arskel Sitter, yeah, you're supposed to separate some tzedakah here. So some say, Shlah writes, because the context of those psukim by Yevarach David in Divrei Yamim, that's when David HaMelech was collecting gold and silver to build the Beis HaMikdash, right? And it was a time of tremendous generosity. David HaMelech it was one of the most successful fundraising efforts ever in Jewish history. So it's a time to buy into that, to take part of it. But the other reason probably is the word that we're saying, Ha'osher v'akavod l'fanecha. It's all yours. Wealth, covered, riches, it comes from you, Hashem. Right? So what better way than right then to give tzedakah right then? Just conclude with the following. Someone asked me the other day about standing up when the Chas and Kala come in to the room. And there are different opinions as to do you stand, you don't stand. Those who say we do stand, the primary reason is because the Chas and is on the way to perform a mitzvah. When a baby comes in, we stand up. And the baby comes in, he's about to do a mitzvah. At a levaya, this is shocking, but this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. When, at the conclusion of a levaya, so they bring the aron out, and they head, you know, towards the cemetery, and everyone stands up. You're not standing for the mace. You're standing for the malavim, for the pallbearers, the people who are escorting. They're doing a mitzvah, you stand up. Why we do it for some mitzvahs, not other mitzvahs, it's a good question. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, the reason why we stand in a Bayavarach Dov, it's so random, right? We're in the middle of Pesukah Zimra, all of a sudden we stand up. Because at that time, the gabayim used to come around and collect money, so the practice was to stand up, and the gabay tzedakah came your way. And the Mishnah Berurah mentions that practice, and then he says yesh makomos, but he says at other places shenogim makavi tzedakah based kriyas haTorah, that they go around collecting money during kriyas haTorah. But who shaloga hoga, and it's not right. Probably during chazaras shatz as well. The mevatan like dezem l'shmo kriyas haTorah vanias baruch hu Hashem. People can't hear the laning, they can't hear the baruch hu, so it's probably not the best time to be, you know, jingling the pushka. וכאן מרקש אומר, צקש ברוך הוא זקס ישראל, לפיכך הברל ומתור מצו, שנמר נחפץ מנציר כה, יגדיל צורוב יעזיר.